Please take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today's Sunday, September the 1st, Labor Day weekend. September already. Okay. This will be a bit of a review for most of us, I would assume. Maybe for those who may listen to this recording later, it might be some new information. But it's good to review. God told Paul when he wrote to the Thessalonians, remember when I was with you, I told you these things? He was reminding them, reviewing with them. In Peter's epistle, he said, you know, even though you know these things, I'm still going to put them into remembrance for you. So reviewing is good. Reviewing, reminding, it reinforces. And this section in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, it's interesting. It begins with God saying he doesn't want us to be ignorant of spiritual matters. And then it closes with, if anybody wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. This week, the Walking in God's Power advanced class, we will begin doing that. And as you know, in the foundational Walking in God's Power class, we cover a lot of great truths, including the logical keys on how all Scripture interprets itself. We spend time in the relationship of God and man. We look at the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we conclude that class with a section on God's gift of Holy Spirit, and specifically look at the manifestation of speaking in tongues. And so we do that in 10 sessions. In the intermediate Walking in God's Power class, we focus on the manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy, and spend considerable time in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And we do that in 3 sessions. The advanced class, we get into the Word of God in quite a bit of depth and take 28 sessions to do it, and with quite a bit of required reading in between, and we focus on the other 6 manifestations. But in all of those classes, we gain understanding of what the Scriptures say, not a man's opinion, not tradition, not church doctrines, if you will. And we're going to review just a few verses in this great section in 1 Corinthians. And doing that, it's good to remember that the books of Corinthians are reproof epistles. So that's always good to remember when you read these. 1 Corinthians 12, 1, which is fairly familiar, I think, to us. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And I think, as you know and can see in the King James, gifts is in italics, added. Now, concerning spiritual, and it's the word that means, what's the best way to put it? Spiritual matters. Concerning spiritual matters, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. And then all the way over to chapter 14, and in verse 38, I just mentioned this before, chapter 14, verse 38, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And that's actually very loving of God, because God gives every person free will. God does not possess anyone. God does not force anyone. God says, you have a choice. You have free will. And it's pretty clear that God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters. And if he doesn't want us to be ignorant, well, then he's got to give us information. Because he doesn't say, I don't want you to be ignorant, so just guess. And then whatever you come up with, it's probably right. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? So it's a choice. And this morning, we're going to look at some really great truths in chapter 14, which gives us great insight concerning the 3 manifestations that we often refer to as the utterance manifestations, and we refer to them that way because they are uttered, spoken. And that would be speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. It is important to note that there is no other place in the entire Bible that devotes an entire section on giving specific details concerning any of the nine manifestations. It's the only place. There's no other place in the Bible where God takes a whole section to discuss in specific detail one of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. So how important this section in God's Word is to born-again believers. There's some people that say, well, that stuff, that was just for the first century. You know, this speaking in tongues, that was just for the first century. You ever heard that? So did on December the 31st, year 99, someone send a text out or an email? Oh, they didn't have that. Well, they send everybody a letter. All of this stuff is ending tonight. It's silly, right? It's silly. Chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians lays a foundation for all nine manifestations. So in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual matters, gifts in italics again, but rather that you may prophesy. The word rather carries the meaning of that which is of an even greater importance or significance to the matter at hand. Follow after the love of God, pursue the love of God, and desire spiritual matters, but of even greater importance or significance to the matter at hand, that you may prophesy. Keep your finger here for just a second and bounce back to Romans 8. Here's another rather. We're coming right back to Corinthians 14, but in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? Who's condemning you? Christ that died? Yea, rather, but of even greater importance or significance to the matters at hand, he is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. See how that word rather, it's not or, but of even greater importance or significance to the matters at hand is that you would prophesy. Back in 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue after the love of God and desire spiritual matters. But of even greater importance or significance to the matters at hand is that you would prophesy. And then verse 2 says, for he that speaks in a tongue, unknowns in italics, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What a great verse this is, describing what speaking in tongues is. It's not speaking to people. It is speaking to God. It is just speaking to God. We don't understand the words that we are speaking. So it's a language we do not know. Only God could come up with something this fantastic. Speak a language you don't know. Anyone in here know Russian? Okay, nobody in here knows Russian? You know Russian, all right? Oh, you know one word, right? Well, Dan knows one word, so let me call on someone else. Vince, go ahead and speak Russian. You can't speak a language you don't know. What a fantastic thing that God came up with. We don't understand the words we're speaking, but What we're speaking is speaking to God. And so where do those words come from if we don't understand them? God gives us the words to speak to Him. We should all be familiar with Acts 2:4. When the day of Pentecost came, it says they were all filled with the Spirit. They were all filled with the gift. And it says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, God, gave them the utterance. God gave them the words to speak. Oh my goodness. God gives us the words to speak to Him. So verse 2 again. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. For no man understands, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Remember verse 1, God said, but of even greater importance and significance to the matters at hand is that you prophesy. Why? He's telling us why in verse 3. He that prophesies speaks unto men, women, people, to edification and exhortation and comfort. The manifestation of prophecy is spoken to people. They understand the words that are spoken. Whereas when you operate the manifestation of speaking in tongues, you don't understand it, but you are speaking to God. And you're speaking to God with words that He gave you to speak, just like when you manifest the manifestation of prophecy, it's words that God is giving you to speak. So in verse 1, God told us to follow or pursue the love of God and desire spiritual matters, but of even greater importance or significance to the matter at hand is that we would prophesy. And this is why. So that those hearing the words of prophecy would receive edification and comfort and exhortation. Isn't that something? That's the reason why. When this manifestation of prophecy, or we'll see interpretation of tongues is kind of the companion manifestation, but when they are operated correctly, just like in speaking in tongues, it's God that gives you the words to speak. Now, let's back up for just a minute. Go to Romans 8 again. Let's just back up for a minute. In Romans 8, verse 15, and this is addressed to born-again ones, you and me, for you've not received a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself, the Spirit in manifestation, when we manifest, bears witness with our spirit, with us, with ourself, that we are the children of God. It bears witness to you. It's the proof to each one of us that we really have the Spirit. How else could we speak a language we do not know? God wanted us to have absolute proof. We're speaking a language we do not know. And that bears witness. It gives the proof to us that we are the children of God, that we have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God, then you know you're saved. Right? You know you have eternal life. You know that you have what God's Word says you have, all the rights, all the privileges, all the abilities. And that includes the ability to operate all nine manifestations, right? When a person sees and understands from the Scriptures that God gives every born-again believer His gift of Holy Spirit, and that having that Spirit enables them to operate. What good is it to have the Spirit of God in us if it's just like A hat. I mean, even a hat has a purpose, or a jacket. What good is it? And we can read many places in the scriptures where it specifically says that the born-again believers has the Spirit of God in them. We have the Spirit of God in them. Okay, what good is it if it just sits there? What is it for? But when a person sees and understands from the scriptures that God gives everyone His gift of Holy Spirit, every born-again one, and it enables them to operate that Spirit. And when they see from the scriptures that God wants them to speak in tongues, when they see and understand from the scriptures that the words that they speak are words that God is giving them, and when they believe that and then open their mouth, move their mouth, their lips, their throat, their tongue, the words will be there because God doesn't fail us when we believe. God will give the words when we believe it. And it's back to the free will again. It's a choice. One example that I just will never forget. In Minnesota, I was at a fellowship teaching. I don't even remember what I was teaching about, but must have been something about speaking in tongues or whatever. And there was one girl who, I think she had come to like two or three fellowships. And right afterwards, she just said, "I want to speak in tongues." I said, "Okay." So we went back in one of the bedrooms and I just talked to her a little bit, prayed with her. Basically said, "You can do it. You're born again. You can do it." And she spoke in tongues. So she came out, she's all blessed and bubbly. And there was a guy there who was there for the first time. He's a big biker dude, big bear kind of a guy, one of those big guys, big biker dude, you know, you'd like. And he just was blessed to be there and hear the word. And then he's listening to all this. He goes, "I want to do that too." I said, "Okay, come on back." And he was sitting on the bed and I was sitting in a chair and I basically shared the same things with him. And I'm like, "Go ahead. You can do it." And he opened his mouth and he went, and he just fell back on the bed and went, "I can't." And I said, "That's okay. You can, you just don't want to right now. And that's okay. That's okay. But you can when you want to, and it's free will." But it was so funny to see this big brute guy go, "Oh, I can't." And I think I remember it because it made such an impression on me that it's just believing what the scriptures say. So it's believing what God said in His Word, not believing what a preacher says, not believing, "Hey, you can do that." Look, what helps people is, first of all, if they have an appreciation that the Word of God's the will of God. This is God's Word. And see it from the scriptures. That's the greatest help for people, to see it in the Word. And it's believing that what God said in His Word, that God will give you the words to speak. And you either believe it or you don't. But when you do, you not only see God's Word come to pass in your life, and perhaps the first time you spoke in tongues, you may remember it. It was like, "My goodness, it happened." Just like God said it would. You not only see God's Word come to pass in your life, you not only speak to God mysteries, but, and this is important, it sets a foundation and a pattern for the manifestations of prophecy and interpretation of tongues. Why? Because if God gives us the words to speak when we speak in tongues and speak to Him, then God would certainly give us the words to speak the edification, comfort, and exhortation to the church when we operate prophecy and interpretation. If He's giving us the words to speak to Him, He'll give us the words to speak to bring that edification and comfort. And that, in doing that correctly, that sets a pattern for the revelation manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Because the revelation manifestations is God speaking to you. God giving you information or instructions. Verse 3 again, back to 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men, women, to people, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Therefore, since God's giving you the words, it's a message from God or for God that people can understand. How important this must be that God's word gives us such specific details. God's desire is when the believers get together. God's desire is that they get edification, exhortation, and comfort from Him, from God. You know, you and I might have nice things to say to one another, which is great. You know, we're loving, we're kind, we comfort one another, may endeavor to build people up, and that's wonderful. But a message directly from God or for God will bring the edification, comfort, and exhortation that God wants His people to have. And God wants us to do that. You know, God's saying, do that. I'll give you the words. That's my job. I'll give you the words. Your job is to believe me and do it. Verse 4, he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. When we speak in tongues, we do not understand the words. Therefore, the edification has to be spiritually. The building up has to be spiritually because we don't understand the words. But God says when we do that, we're not only speaking to Him, but we are building ourselves up spiritually. That is just amazing. Why would we not want to speak in tongues a lot in our private prayer life? It builds us up spiritually. But the edification, the exhortation, and the comfort from prophecy and interpretation of tongues, those words are understood by the people that are present, like they were this morning, right? And therefore, that edification is not spiritual, but rather it builds one up in their heart and mind because they can understand the words like we did this morning and how comforting some of those words were this morning and the exhortation that we got. It was wonderful. And then verse 5, I would, God, this is God, I would that you all spake with tongues. But of even greater importance and significance to the matters at hand that we're dealing with right now, but that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret. That the church may receive what? Edifying. See, this is what God's really focusing on, is the edification of the church. That which is of even greater importance. See, because God just said, I would you all speak with tongues. It's the absolute will of God that people speak in tongues. God's very clear, but He gives us free will, right? He's not going to force us. And, well, how much speaking in tongues should we do? Well, verse 18, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Okay. He set the bar pretty high, didn't he? He wasn't bragging. It was true, and God told him to put that in this epistle. But that which is even greater importance or significance to the matter of hand is a message that would bring edification, comfort, and exhortation to the church, to the believers meeting together. And then the question comes up, why would we have interpretation of tongues and prophecy? Why those two? You know, verse 22 tells us that tongues are for a sign. And that's referring to the manifestation of interpretation tongues. It's a sign for those who do not believe right now, meaning they haven't gotten to the point of recognizing that born-again ones have the Spirit of God or the ability to operate the manifestations. They're just not there yet. They're not at the point of believing that they too could manifest speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. They're not there yet. They might get there. So it's a sign to them that there's more available. And I think maybe you've seen that over the years. Somebody comes to fellowship for the first time, maybe never have heard of speaking in tongues, and then we have manifestations, and then, I mean, I've seen that many times after it's over, they go, well, what was that all about? What was that? Yeah, it's a sign to them. And, you know, if everyone in this room and on the hookup were fully instructed, operating, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy correctly, then there would be no need in this meeting to have interpretation of tongues. We just have prophecy. Right? So it's a sign. So, does God want you to speak in tongues? Of course. I would you all speak with tongues, right? Paul said he spoke in tongues more than everybody. Pretty safe to say, looking at his great walk with and for God, he was pretty spiritually edified. Would you agree? I would say yes to that. You know, in verse 15, Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. He did both. He did absolutely both. And verse 39 says, don't forbid to speak with tongues. God wants you and me to speak in tongues. So looking at this briefly this morning, we have seen that God has a great desire of even greater importance and significance to the matter at hand is that you and I would edify the church. And that when believers get together, they would receive edification, comfort, and exhortation from God with words that God provides. How cool. And we got to look at verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous for spiritual matters, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. What a verse. Excel. Just as God gives us the words to speak to Him when we speak in tongues, God will give us the words to speak when we operate interpretation of tongues and prophecy. He will give us the words. Is excelling to the edifying of the church, is that automatic? No. It couldn't be if God says seek to excel. Right? I saw just recently a very brief interview with a baseball player. San Francisco Giants, Brett Snell. He's been a Major League Baseball player for 8 years. He's a two-time Cy Young winner. He almost pitched a perfect game a month and a half ago, but on, I think it was August the 2nd, he pitched a no-hitter, which, as a pitcher, that's like cream of the crop. The only thing better would be like a perfect game. But he pitched a no-hitter. So here's a guy who's doing pretty well at his profession. But what struck me in the interview was the guy that was interviewing him was asking him some questions, and he indicated he was really working on his game. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So God tells us here, seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Our job is to speak, when we operate interpretation of tongues and prophecy, our job is to speak the words that God gives us. And he doesn't need our help regarding that. He needs us to believe that he will give us the words that he wants to speak. So we don't add, we don't subtract, we don't prepare, we don't go longer than he wanted us to go, we don't go shorter than he would want it. We just speak the words, they'll be there. And they'll be there because the words, when we speak in tongues, they're there. We just, you know, we don't listen to ourselves speak in tongues and go, hey, I bet I know a word that would work, that would sound like that language. Russian, right? Bushta. Oh, well, maybe I'll do tuta bushta. That might be. He doesn't need our help. We just believe and he'll provide the words. And the same thing is true with interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Operating the manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy correctly sets a very good pattern for the revelation manifestations, just as operating them incorrectly sets a not very good pattern for the revelation manifestations. There's a very short but powerful study regarding that in this book called Open My Eyes That I May See. The chapter's called Seek to Excel. It's pretty short, but it's very powerful along the lines of what I just shared about setting a pattern. And if you don't have this book, you can get one if you like, or borrow one from somebody's, but I would encourage you to read that. It's very, very good. So in terms of seeking to excel, well, what can we do? Well, take the intermediate class on walking in God's power. That's very helpful. Well, I've had that. Take it again. Reviewing's fine. Reviewing is good. Reviewing reinforces. And I honestly realized that, who was I talking to? Somebody recently. Meeting once a week on Sundays does not give everybody an opportunity to manifest. Right? Sometimes it may be a while. So I understand that. In the book of Acts, looks like they met daily, doesn't it? And back in the day, who was I talking to about this? I think I was talking to Marion about this. Back in the day, we used to have fellowship like every night. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so there was more opportunity to operate the manifestations on a more regular basis to seek to excel. So I understand that, where we're at now. And if anyone would like an opportunity to do, you know, kind of like what we do in the intermediate class, where we sometimes do Exceller sessions, where we just focus on getting better at interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Why not? God said seek to excel. So if anyone is in that category that they would like to do that, let me know. We'll work something out. And then the other thing is that when we get together with each other, we might be just hanging out, doing something. If there's three of us, we could always stop, have some prayer time, pray for some things, and have manifestations and hear a message from God. We can always do that too. So there's ways to do that. How beneficial it is seeking to excel. How beneficial to seeking to excel is speaking in tongues much? Probably a lot. So we close with verse 5 again. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And verse 12, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual matters, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and how much you desire for us to take full advantage of that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that we have, and that your desire would be that we would operate all nine. Father, may we trust you and believe you, believe what you've said in your word, and absolutely believe that you give us the words to speak directly to you, and that you would give us the words to speak that we could bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. And Father, absolutely believe that you are at work within us, and that you would reveal to us information and instructions by way of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Thank you for the privilege of sharing a little bit of your word this morning, and I ask you to bless everyone here, those on the hookup, and those that might listen to this at another time. I thank you for your love and for all that our Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us as we look forward to that day he comes back. Thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.